Shadow of a Bat, written by Paper Puffin and read by Flower Parish. This is a Danny Phantom and DC crossover fic, rated mature, with warnings for graphic depictions of violence. This features the relationships between Danny Fenton and the Bat Family members, including Bruce Wayne. Summary. Captured by the GIW, Phantom was a mere shadow of the thing, no, person. He had to remember he was a person that he used to be. He thought he would never be freed from the bright white lab. Then, what seemed to be a mass of living shadow swept into the lab, and Phantom suddenly, for the first time in a very long time, felt safe. When Batman swept back out of the seemingly empty lab, he was none the wiser about the eldritch Phantom stowed away in his shadow. At least, not until things started to seem just slightly off.
Hello, hello, anybody out there? 'Cause I don't hear a sound. Alone, alone, I don't really know where the world is, but I miss it now.
Chapter 1. For Batman, it started during the Justice League's raid of the GIW facility. If asked, that is not when Batman would have said it started, or rather, that was not when he noticed. For him, it started with a patrol when he caught Nightwing off guard. As Batman, Bruce was not only used to startling people, it was a tool that he used ruthlessly. He never underestimated the advantage that the ability to move, unerringly, in and out of the shadows gave him. Startling his children, however, was a rare occurrence. Being the oldest, Dick was practically immune to the tricks of the trade. Even at his most relaxed and with his guard down, he was rarely surprised by anything. It's what made him so skilled at handling his stealthier siblings, like Damian and Cassandra. So, when Dick was startled on the job as Nightwing, Bruce immediately knew that something was off kilter. Bruce's initial assumption was that Dick was under the weather. Or it could have been a case from his day job on his mind, if it was something truly pressing, but even that felt out of character. The idea of anything being off was quickly disproved, as Nightwing performed exceptionally, as always, while they worked together to take down the drug ring, operating across the Gotham and Bloodhaven border. But the interaction continued to tug at the back of Bruce's mind, so he started to pay attention to every detail around him. He paid attention to the way the shadows seemed to cling a little closer to him, to the way the element of surprise was always on his side, to the way that criminals seemed to cower more than normal. It was all purely circumstantial, of course. There was the chance that there was nothing of merit in those details. But circumstances had a way of turning deadly in an instant, and so Bruce continued to take note of the darkness surrounding him. A henchman would stumble on nothing, and a shot would go wide. A punch would land harder than expected and knock the assailant instantly out of the fight. A pursuer would run right past a witness or victim that Batman was protecting. And then, all the odder, it seemed that whatever he needed around the cave was always at hand, and his tea never got cold. It all led to one single conclusion. Something, or someone, was watching over him. For the Bat Brood, it started with things being just a step off normal. It was nothing, not really, but they were trained to be sensitive to the subtle shifts of the world around them. Suddenly, around Bruce, it felt like everything had moved 2 feet to the left, like expecting one more step at the top of the stairs when there were none. It started, for each of them, with little oddities. Dick startled when Bruce got the drop on him when patrol. From that night on, Batman seemed to blend deeper into the shadows. Jason noticed when he got the feeling around Batman that the other was hurt. He dropped some subtle questions to his siblings, even reached out to Oracle, but none of them brought up Bruce being injured. But the feeling didn't go away. Something still called to Jason, asking for help. The sensation did grow less intense, but it still bothered Jason. Tim dismissed it, at first, as needing more sleep. When he'd shown up for a board meeting at Wayne Enterprises after a late night on a case, Bruce's shadow had, for a moment, seemed off. It had seemed smaller than it should have been. Tim could have easily ignored that one-off, but he kept noticing things about the shadow. A moment where the ear tips were missing from the cowl, where the cape flared in the shadow but not reality, where there were too many arms. Steph might not have caught on to it, she wasn't around as much, but there was Cass. Cass, who had started humming, softly, soothingly, when it was quiet in the cave during research. Steph swore the shadows sometimes rippled back in response to the song. She didn't ask Cass, and Cass didn't offer any explanation either. Steph didn't think asking would get more than an enigmatic smile anyways. Damien felt the hair on the nape of his neck stand on end whenever he was close to Bruce. There was an energy around his father now that hadn't been there before. It was almost the same energy that came from standing near the Lazarus pits, simply less. Simply softer, kinder. Duke swore that sometimes Bruce's shadow, mostly Batman's shadow, seemed to glow green. On the double take, it never was, but the image stayed with Duke. And Alfred? Alfred was on edge because his family was on edge. He hid it, of course, behind his unflappable demeanor, but there was a tense line to his shoulders nonetheless. Something had changed about Bruce. Something that made them all alert. Tim was the one to finally broach the subject in the family group chat. He needed to know if he was going crazy or not. For the Justice League, it started when Batman sent the Founding Seven, plus Constantine, an encoded message. In it, he stated that there was an entity of unknown origins that had attached itself to him. So far, the entity was not only non-hostile, but seemed to be actively aiding in missions. Batman was clear to remind them all that current behavior was no guarantee of continued cooperation or overall morality of the entity. Anyone other than Batman might have been doubted. The proof he offered was practically non-existent, a fact that he was upfront about. He disclosed that the only hard data that the instruments in the Batcave recorded were a shifting cold spot and a resonant vibration that occasionally echoed the song that Black Bat hummed. Batman was confident that the entity was around, though, as were the rest of his people. Batman proposed to bring him and the entity to the Watchtower. There, they could apply all of the headquarters sensors to analyzing the entity, as well as the skills of members such as Jean, Hal, and Constantine. Perhaps the most concerning part of the message was Batman's hypothesis. He proposed that, based on the timing of the manifestation and the entity's nature, the being had attached itself to him in the lab. None of the League had to ask what lab. For those who had been on the mission, it was not some place they would be likely to forget. Nor would those who had been spared the mission but had still heard about the horrors that the GIW facility had held. After the bill protecting metahumans had passed, and taken the unethical Anti-Ecto Acts off the books with it, the organization had gone to ground. Operating on the other side of legality didn't seem to have slowed down the GIW's work any. In fact, it seemed to make the remaining agents all the more fervent, all the more dedicated to prove that they had been right about ghosts, all the more willing to cross unspeakable lines. Throughout the facility, there were obvious signs of imprisonment, torture, and dissection. Carefully labeled and stored remains and body parts corroborated that. Later, from the recordings, the League would learn that vivisection was often the accurate term. The only living, as much as the term applied, entities found in the lab were three green blob-like creatures and one humanoid ghost with bright green hair. The containment case in the lab had seen that the humanoid ghost didn't survive long enough to be extracted. A failsafe of the facility seemed to be the total destruction of all subjects and a number of the staff. Despite the implication, the entity with Batman gave the League hope that maybe they had at least gotten there in time to save one soul. It was hope that, even with the risks, gave them cause to plan the visit to the Watchtower. For Phantom, it started when he felt a presence in the bowels of the GIW facility. He barely felt anything anymore. There was barely anything left of him to feel things, not after the scientists had pulled him apart again and again and again. But he felt this. The red klaxon of the alarms were flashing when what seemed like a mass of living shadow had swept into the powered-down lab that Phantom was kept in. As soon as the being entered, a wave of safety had washed over him. He called it safety, but he didn't know if that was the right word. Most people, probably, wouldn't feel safe around that particular combination of emotions. An all-encompassing rage was the loudest emotion, but under that rage was an aching sorrow and a driving chant of protect, protect, protect. To Phantom, that combination sang of safety. This being, person, was enraged by the lab. The rage may have threatened to consume them, but they were everything that the cold, calculating scientists weren't. Under an iron control, this being felt things. Phantom wanted to feel things too. Desperately, he wanted to remember what that was like, to feel something other than an endless, numb terror. He tried to call out to the person, but it had been so long since he had made noises. Why would he? The scientists didn't listen to anything he said. They just kept cutting in, an endless sea of white with orange and turquoise and so much green, green, green. It didn't matter if he screamed. It didn't matter if he begged. So he stopped talking. He stopped trilling. But now he wanted to talk, to call out. He was here. Please don't leave him. Don't go away without him. Don't make him stay here in the lab. He wanted to be safe. The person paused in their search of the lab and looked towards the container that Phantom was kept in. Please, don't leave me. They looked at the container for a long moment, then at their gloved hand, before they flicked the latch. It opened with a hiss, and Phantom froze, pressed back against the dark corner like nothing more than a shadow himself. Why did he freeze? He wanted the other to know he was there, didn't he? No. When they remembered him, it hurt. It was safest not to. The person turned away from him, and Phantom, panicked at being left, darted forward. The shadows surrounding the person made space for him, welcomed him. It was like being hugged. Phantom thought that maybe he remembered hugs. He curled up into the sensation. There, in the shadows, he was safe. And he stayed safe. He could hardly believe it, but he really was safe. He was sure it had been some time by then. True, Phantom struggled to take notice of the passage of time. He was so used to nothing changing. The labs were always the same. Scientists and guards and agents visited in an ever-repeating rhythm. In the sealed door, out the sealed door. In and out, and in and out, and into the bright room, and out with another piece of him carved off to study. Everything was always bright and painful and white, white, white. But with this person, here, where was he? Here, it was different. The light grew dim until it was all but gone, and then it came back again, growing brighter. But no pain came with it. No scientists, guards, or agents came with it. Different people did come and go. Phantom could sense them, a little, but it was never those people. These people who came and went now felt like the being, person, it was a person, whose shadow he clung to. The same chant of protection sung around them, even if it echoed in different ways. They might have been safe too, but Phantom stayed with the person who had swept into the labs and saved him. They were the safest. The shadows that clung to the person ebbed with the rise and fall of the light. When there was less light, the shadows were a thick, heavy shroud like in the labs. Other times, when it was brighter, the shadows were almost tucked away. When it was brighter, they were less. During the daytime, they were less. Daytime was a thing Phantom thought he remembered now. It meant, he was outside. That was the sun, Sol, a yellow dwarf star, the center of their solar system. 4.5 billion years old. And warm. Phantom felt like he might melt in its warmth. He would welcome melting in the light of the sun for how good it felt. He hadn't been warm in so very, very long. It was easier to keep track of time after that, after he had remembered the sun. After he had remembered a little piece of how the world turned outside of the cold, bright, sterile labs. All sorts of things came back to Phantom in bits and pieces like that. Sometimes he would remember something and there would be a flood of knowledge. Other times he would remember one bit, a word or a fact or a thing, only for there to be nothing else to tie it to. Then, a day or a week later, he'd remember something else and suddenly the bits would snap into place. Along with all the bits and pieces he was remembering about the world, Phantom was also learning about the person who was safe. The man whose shadow he lurked in was a hero. This was how he had found Phantom. He was a hero mostly at night, and his name was Batman. It was also Bruce Wayne. Phantom wondered if that meant he had another name also. Batman worked with other heroes. Bruce worked with some of the same people. No, not worked with. They were family. What was family? Batman and Bruce were both safe, safe, safe. And Phantom wanted to help keep Batman and Bruce safe, too. The problem was, since Batman was a hero, he constantly put himself in danger. Often, this was to protect other people. To Phantom, that only made it all the more important to keep Batman safe. If Batman was safe, he could help keep other people safe, people that Phantom couldn't help. He needed to help keep people safe. So, Phantom did what little he could. When Batman was outnumbered, a far too common occurrence, Phantom would add a little bit of power to make the punches land harder. When people threatened Batman, he would let himself stretch, reaching tendrils from shadow to shadow to trip gunmen. And when Batman was protecting someone, Phantom would protect them too. There was something inside him that sung when he was able to help protect. He wanted to keep that feeling so badly. But protecting was also terrifying. Often it meant pulling himself away from Batman to stay with whoever was in danger. Often it pulled Phantom away from where he was safe. He managed, though. He moved past the fear. And then, one time, the person Phantom was helping to shroud in the shadows ran. Phantom was so startled by the act that it took him a moment to realize that the person was running away from Batman, away from safety. Phantom scrambled back, sliding off the person's shadow and clinging to a brick wall. Where was Batman? Where was safe? He needed height. He'd be able to see better higher up. Something in him knew that, craved that. Phantom scuttled up the wall, tendrils of darkness pulling him higher and higher. He shot past the top of the roof, floating for a moment in the brilliantly dark sky before he came crashing down. Where did he... Phantom darted across the roof, bounding from shadow to leap across the ledge. He hit the wall of the other building too low and clung desperately to it. Brick by brick, he pulled himself up to the top. Where was Batman? Where was safety? Phantom wailed a cry and the windows rattled around him. He hadn't made a noise until then, not since getting out. He hadn't needed to. But now, in his need, his darkness split into many, many mouths full of many, many teeth, so that he could cry out with a sob. Where did you go? There. A flash of movement caught his attention as Batman grappled onto the roof. When he landed, he flared his cape out wide. Phantom dove for the shadows that it offered. He clung under the drape of slick fabric, trembling in the shadows. He felt Batman shift to perch on the edge of the building. The cape stayed tented out around him, making a safe shield between Phantom and the rest of the world. Batman tucked it slightly further around Phantom. Then, in the quiet of the night, Batman started to hum. It was the same song that the other always hummed, the quiet one who felt softly of silent death. From that one, it was an invitation to play. From Batman, it was a low, comforting promise. Slowly, Phantom calmed. The many mouths melded back into the shadows. The hundreds of pointed teeth that had teared at his own being shifted away into nothing. Tendrils relaxed and tucked close. Eventually, Phantom stopped trembling. They returned to the cave soon after Phantom had calmed. Phantom couldn't tell, not exactly, but it seemed earlier than normal to return home. He was happy for it. End of chapter one.
Listen, listen, I would take a whisper if that's all you had to give. But it isn't, is it? You could come and save me.
Chapter two. It was only afternoon, and Bruce was already in the cave. Phantom was proud that he knew it was the afternoon. He was also proud that he could tell that, even though they were in the cave, this was Bruce and not Batman. Not yet, at least. He could see the easy slope of Bruce's shoulders, the way his eyes weren't tense, the casual way Bruce looked through the files. Phantom knew. He'd been getting better at noticing things. He'd been getting better at everything. It made him proud. The longer he spent in Bruce's shadow, the easier it all became. Yes, there were still days where he lost sense of everything. There were still moments when he was terrified. But those times were less and less and shorter and further apart. On days he was feeling especially good, he even left Bruce's shadow. It had nearly broken him the first time he had stepped away. He pushed through it. He wanted to make Bruce proud. Today was a good day, he thought. He took a moment to make sure that Bruce's tea was still warm before he drifted up out of the cave to find someone else to be near. With time, Phantom had come to see the other members of the family as safe. Not as safe as Bruce, he was still the safest, but when he spent time with the others, he was able to experience things that he didn't get to with Bruce. His favorite to spend time with was Alfred, Alfred who felt of warmth and safety and spice. With Alfred, he could watch the other cook. Phantom was pretty certain that cooking was something new to him. It was nice to have something that didn't pull at his mind, demanding he remember, remember, remember. Remembering was exhausting. So, getting to be with Alfred when he cooked was nice. Phantom drifted towards the kitchen, rather sure that Alfred would be making dinner soon. The late afternoon was his second favorite time to visit Alfred. His favorite was in the morning when the rest of the manor was still asleep, or begrudgingly waking up. Phantom felt complicated about mornings. He didn't really know if he liked them much, but he did like watching the sunrise. He liked feeling warmth sweep over him, and he liked being with Alfred as the others sipped on tea and watched it with him. Well, Phantom wanted to think they watched it together. He didn't know if Alfred really noticed him at all. He hadn't been as cautious lately. Not since the night on the roof when he thought he'd lost Batman. But then Batman had come back for him and hummed to him, and Phantom, after thinking on it later, felt pretty certain that Batman knew he was there. Batman knew. He knew, and he hadn't tried to capture him or run any experiments. Because Batman was safe. Emboldened, Phantom started to show himself just a little more. To the one of silent death, he would sometimes hum back now, just barely. When the laughing one was there, it might turn into a quiet song in the round. With the one who was always focused, he worked to keep the coffee warm. For the one whose emotions were so loud yet controlled, Phantom would tidy up the art corner now and then. With the bright one, he was a presence when the others were busy. The eldest two, oh, they were older brothers. Yes, Phantom understood that now. The thought made his heart ache, though he didn't know why. The eldest two were around less, but he would curl up with the one scarred by rage, who would sometimes read out loud. And the golden one was always a distraction when Phantom needed it. A few times, he had even, bravely, foolishly, rolled a ball back to him in play. It seemed to make the other happy. Best yet was when they would all just talk. Phantom liked to think they were talking to him. Sometimes he was almost sure they were. Now, he passed through the closed door to the kitchen. Alfred was sitting at the island, flipping through a collection of handwritten recipes. Phantom darted over, jumping between the shadows. He made a little game out of not touching any of the smaller black diamond-shaped tiles inset into the floor. Settling in next to Alfred, he stayed hidden in the shadow of a vase of flowers. He waited till Alfred was distracted to reach out and warm up Alfred's tea. A moment later, Alfred picked up the tea and hummed as he wrapped his hands around the warmed cup. I'm thinking perhaps the vegetarian lasagna for tonight. It is a bit chilly outside, and the lasagna will be rather warm and filling for the family. Perhaps I should see if any of the others would wish to stop by for dinner. They all do like the dish, and it would be rather nice to have a full house. Phantom gave a soft little trill, the sound involuntary. That did sound nice. Yes, I think that would be good. I had best get to work then if we are to have enough food, Alfred said, and set his tea down. He draped his jacket over the stool he vacated and rolled up his sleeves. Bruce glanced at the notification flashing on the corner of the screen. It was from Alfred. The little shadow, as Dick had taken to calling the entity, was in the kitchen and seemed content to stay there for a bit while Alfred cooked. Despite the potential risk an unknown entity posed, Bruce and his family had been pleased by the increased interaction from the entity. They hoped it meant the little shadow was feeling safer there with them. Bruce credited a great deal of it to Cass's suggestion that they speak some of their thoughts out loud to the entity. Of course, they couldn't always be sure they had company, even if there was often a feeling of it. A great deal of the time, they truly were talking to themselves. The family agreed it was a small sacrifice to make, especially after Jason had, hesitantly, admitted that he felt pain from the entity. Since the entity was currently occupied, Bruce took the moment of isolation to call up to the watchtower. He had been careful with what he accessed when the entity was around. This was both for security reasons, but also to keep the entity from having to hear about the GIW labs. Jean.
Batman, your timing is impeccable, as always.
The process has finished. It wasn't unexpected that the data they had been able to retrieve from the lab was encrypted. Harder to overcome was that a good portion of it had also been partially destroyed by the self-destruct process of the lab. They had recovered much of the database already, but any video files had been undergoing a lengthier process of defragmentation. It seemed it was done.
Yes,
John said, with a gravity that was severe even for the stoic Martian. They're what we expected, Bruce rumbled.
That and worse. I would suggest that you watch them alone.
Understood. Send the files through. Following Alfred around the kitchen, Phantom did tiny things to help out. Nothing big. Just nudging an egg closer here, keeping a cup steady there, helping mix things when Alfred wasn't looking. It was nice to help. Phantom liked helping, even if he didn't do much. Every time that Alfred made a little hum of approval or a comment of how handy it was that a utensil Phantom had delivered was close at hand, Phantom felt a little thrill at the approval. It kept Phantom lingering close by, watching as Alfred chopped vegetables with precise skill and a running commentary. Who would have thought pasta could be made like that, just by cracking an egg into a well of flour? It was like watching magic. As Alfred cooked, the room slowly filled up, person by person, but Phantom didn't feel the need to hide, not with the golden laughter of Dick and Stephanie filling the room, not even with the squabbling of the emotional Damien and clever Tim. Alfred eventually shooed them, all of them, he had said, very pointedly. Phantom had felt seen for a moment, out of the kitchen. Plate of cookies in hand, the boisterous group made their way out, and Phantom followed, bounding from shadow to shadow. Some of the others were already in the sitting room, and the new arrivals squeezed into the spaces left open with the casual ease of family. This was a family. Phantom followed the edge of the room to tuck next to the reading Jason, who shifted his feet. It felt like the other was making room for him. It felt nice. Jason reached out and snagged two cookies from the plate, fighting past Dick to manage. The fight for a cookie went around the room, following Dick like a flock of hungry birds. There was just enough for everyone to have one cookie. But Jason had two. Phantom watched, curiously, wondering if a new fight would break out when someone realized. They were fine. It was family. It wasn't a fight like that. This was a family. He skittered back, just slightly, when the cookie was placed on the floor near him. Tucked under the armchair, Phantom watched, warily. No one came to take it. No one looked at it. Confused, hopeful, Phantom came to sit near Jason's feet again, near the cookie. Jason didn't pick it back up. Slowly, aware how fast they could all move, Phantom reached for the cookie. No one looked at him. Phantom pulled it close with a happy little trill. He didn't notice the smiles that lit up the room at the noise. Bruce felt slightly hollow as he headed up to the manor. There were always certain cases that even after all these years, all these horrors, could still get to him. Despite seeing the worst that humanity had to offer again and again, there were times that the current case seemed like the worst one yet. They had screamed and pleaded and cursed. There had been so many. Intrinsically, he sought out his family. He followed the voices and light and noise. He wrapped himself in it as he slipped into the sitting room they were gathered in. It was a full house that night. Alfred must be making something special to bring in so many of the children. Bruce counted heads, unable to stop the need right then to see that all of his children, in all the different ways that they were his, were there and alive and happy. The boy was no older than Tim, black-haired and blue-eyed, too much like so many of the Wayne children. Four, Stephanie, Tim, Damien, and Dick, were battling it out in a video game. They laughed and nudged, and in Damien's case, scowled, at each other. Trash talk was thrown around between them and from the hecklers on the side like Duke and Harper, six, seven. Cullen watched with rapt attention, shouting that he played the winner in the impromptu tournament. Cass sat silently on the armchair that Barbara had claimed, a smile gracing both their faces as they watched the others more than the game. 9. He had begged, crying for Mom and Dad to stop, pleading that he was still their son. It was Jason, 10, that looked towards Bruce, a question in his raised brow. Bruce stepped beside him and reached out to squeeze his son's shoulder. His son, who was back and alive, and who Bruce would do almost anything for because they were family. The incision had bled red, red, red as they cut in without hesitation. Bruce counted his children again, making sure they were all there. A hand squeezed his, and Bruce glanced down at Jason, who gave a subtle nod to his right where the shadows were just a little darker, a little more there than normal. The boy had screamed, until he hadn't. 11. All his children accounted for. End of chapter 2.
Listen, listen, I would take a whisper if that's all you had to give. But it isn't.
Chapter 3. Trusting his gut was hard for Bruce. He had an obsessive need to know, and he knew that. He hoarded facts and figures from hours of research and time on cases. He did it so that he could try to make the right calls. Because his gut told him to care, and more than once that had gotten him in deadly danger. And it would get him in deadly danger again. There were some people he could never let go of caring for, no matter their crimes. Right then, his gut was telling him things about their little shadow. Dick's nickname for the entity stuck with the family. They all now called them some variation of Little Shadow in many different languages. They still didn't know the exact identity of the being, but Bruce had his suspicions. His gut was telling him that the Little Shadow was the boy who had been coldly labeled as FBA-P_01. The boy who had bled red as a human when the scientists had cut into him before it had run green. But Bruce also knew that he couldn't be objective, not when the boy looked so much like Jason had when laid out on the autopsy table. FBA-P_01, what a horrifically callous way to refer to a sentient being. Of course, the GIW didn't consider ghosts sentient. It was unfathomable how they were able to cling to that belief in the face of their own research. The Justice League was continuing to work through the encryption on the files and the files themselves. It was challenging to begin to make their own database in a way that treated the information with the appropriate gravity while still using enough of the GIW's system to be able to parse their data. The naming system, horrific as it was, had to be understood to get anywhere. FBA, a full-body apparition. It was designed for ghosts who took on a humanoid form and could be fully interacted with. FBA entities were considered by the GIW to be the most important test subjects. FBA classes A through E all had multiple files that seemed to be organized by how traditionally humanoid the subjects were. By contrast, the P classification had only been used twice. Once for the boy, and once for a FBA-P_02 who had been listed unsuitable for long-term study and marked as terminated. The name Phantom had come up once in a file connected to FBA-P_01, leading the League to believe that it was the origin of the P marker. Reports from Amity Park, the city that had brought the anti-ecto axe to light, cited Phantom as their town's hero. The boy had been a vigilante. Based on the vivisection footage, he hadn't been entirely dead. Another black-haired, blue-eyed teen hero that had died, that might have died again from the GIW's actions. It was impossible for Bruce to stay objective. He locked down the computer, the faintest tremor to his hands, and pushed himself away from it. Time would need to be found to brief his children on the findings. They had every right to know, what with the little shadow becoming a part of their family, but Bruce didn't know how to broach the topic. He wanted a few more answers first, a few more certainties. Even without the information, his children, legally and otherwise, had been doing so well at making the little shadow feel at home. They were showing more signs of their presence, and with that, it was becoming easier to meet their needs. They clearly enjoyed sitting with Jason when he read out loud, Cass swore that they danced with her when she practiced the slower songs, and all the children were certain that when they played board games, the little shadow would roll the dice around. It was clear they enjoyed being around the family. As part of that, Bruce was certain that when he made it upstairs for lunch, there would be a place at the table set for their newest member. It had started with Jason and the other children slipping bits of food under the table, but Alfred soon declared that behavior unacceptable, their shadow was not a dog, and so a place at the table with a small plate had been set. The food only ever disappeared when no one was looking, but it seemed to be enjoyed. It was never a full plate, they were unsure of how much food could be consumed safely, but Alfred was certain to offer a selection of what the family was having to their little shadow. Sure enough, there was an empty plate other than Bruce's at the table. It was rather full for a weekend lunch. Damien, Tim, Cass, Duke, and Dick were all gathered. That was another thing that the little shadow had brought Bruce. More time with his children. Phantom watched the family at the meal. Watched Bruce, not Batman, the man tried so hard to be Bruce around his children. Asked Dick, golden and smiling, about his day. Watched Tim and Cass fight. Play fighting, not real fighting, over the last piece of garlic bread on the serving plate. He had a little piece of garlic bread, too. He waited, carefully, until no one was looking and then pulled it down below the edge of the table. Oh, it was good. Of course it was, everything Alfred made was good, but this was very good. This was almost cookie-level good. Phantom trilled happily at the taste. When he peered back over the edge of the table, there was another piece of garlic bread on his small plate. Where did that come from? Phantom looked up to see Duke smiling down at him. He shrunk suddenly back. He didn't mean to flinch. He knew, part of him knew, that the plate was set for him, and so the others must know he was there at the meal, but he still felt so seen when one of them looked at where he was. Being seen was dangerous. Being seen meant tests and blades and being cut, cut, cut. The sounds of the meal quieted suddenly. Oh, he must have made a noise. I do hope the silence is due to everyone simply being too busy eating, Alfred said as he swept into the room, breaking the tension of the moment. Though heaven knows that a full mouth has never kept any of you from talking. I would never, Damien said with a haughty sniff. Conversation surged again as people defended themselves or called their siblings out. Without even looking, his attention seemingly on the new argument, Duke nudged the plate towards Phantom. Phantom, Not breathed, he didn't need to breathe, but he relaxed, like all the air he didn't need had gone out of him in a sudden, relieved whoosh. He was safe here. He was safe with Batman Bruce. He was safe with Bruce's family. He knew that. He knew that. He knew that. Sometimes, still, the fear choked him, made him feel like he couldn't breathe. He wondered what it was like to breathe. He used to breathe, he thought. When lunch had finished, he followed the others, not Alfred and Bruce, he would check on them later, to the living room. He was glad that none of them turned around to watch him. He was still feeling a little jittery from lunch and whatever that had been. He tucked himself under the couch that Cass and Tim sat on. Some time ago, a pillow had ended up under the couch and never been picked up. Phantom curled up on it with a pleased little noise as he listened to the family arguing over the remote. The channel changed as often as the remote changed hands.
For the low price of, did not cheat on my, the Voyager space probe.
Oh, space. He loved space. Hey, leave it on this, Duke said. Tim made a disbelieving little noise. What? Why? When did you care about, dude? Dick said purposefully. Phantom wondered what that tone was about, but he struggled to focus on the conversation with the TV captivating him. He hummed happily as images from the probe came up on the screen. Oh, yeah, okay, Tim said after a pause. The volume was turned up, and Phantom crept forward to the edge of the couch. He wanted to see better. They watched the whole double-feature documentary. When something about the African savannah came on next, Phantom shook himself from his daze and slipped out of the room. He felt light. He leapt into the air, spinning happily just because he could. He was pretty sure that they had watched the documentary for him. And there had only been one piece of garlic bread left, but it had been put on his plate, a plate they kept setting for him. The pillow wasn't dropped under the couch, Alfred would have noticed it. It was there for him. They knew about him. And all that had come from it was them caring about him. Because that's what this was, caring. He gave another twirl as he bounced through the house to check on the others. He stopped by Alfred first, glad to see that the kitchen work was done and that Alfred was relaxing with a cup of tea and the crossword. It was nice to see Alfred relaxing. Time to check on Bruce. Well, the man was more Batman than Bruce at the moment, Phantom thought. He drifted to visit the cave's resident bats before he floated down towards Batman. Maybe the other's tea needed warming up.
Another suspected GIW base.
Phantom froze inches from the teacup. The GIW. Activity.
Nothing since we located the base, but we are unsure if that is unusual or if it means the base is abandoned.
Phantom hardly heard the words over the howl of static. The lab. Send the location. I'll see if I can find any signs of the base and shipment activity in the area. The static cut out. The teacup shattered. Porcelain pieces flew in every direction. The hunk of now frozen tea cracked the saucer as it landed.
Batman?
It's nothing, John. Send the files through.
Very well.
Batman carefully gathered up the shards of the teacup, glad that it wasn't one of Alfred's favorites. The frozen, half-sphere of tea was bitterly cold. This was certainly the most robust power that the little shadow had shown. It also tied in with his suspicions of the little shadow being Phantom, or at least FBA-P_01, were the two not the same. Ice powers were listed in the entity's file. Either way, he would have to inform the League of the display. They were almost ready, having the full range of sensors and safeguards in place that would allow them to assess the shadow in a non-invasive manner. This new power could possibly set them back another day or two. "Well, I was due for a break anyways," Bruce said. They had all kept up a bit of a habit of talking aloud. "I can grab something to eat while I get a new cup of tea." Bruce paused, debating what was the best way to act in the moment. Was it better to speak and risk the little shadow being overwhelmed like at lunch? Or was the risk worth it to not let the little one worry? He sighed. He couldn't let them be afraid, not in their own home. "You aren't in any trouble. I'm sorry that you heard that. We're trying to make sure that none of them are left so that they can't hurt anyone like how they hurt you. I promise you, we will never let them hurt you again," Bruce said, putting as much certainty into the words as he could. "Will you come back upstairs with me? I bet Alfred has a cookie for you." Keeping a stockpile of cookies in the house for more than a few hours used to be an impossible task, but the family had proved resilient for the sake of their newest member. There was a long, too long, moment before Bruce felt the familiar spot of cold at his side. He kept his pace slow as they headed upstairs. Despite the situation, Bruce smiled slightly at coming into the kitchen to find Dick helping Alfred prep an afternoon snack. Dick might not be trusted with much in the kitchen, but he could wield a knife well enough to be put on chopping duty. "Done already, Master Bruce," Alfred said with a raised eyebrow. "I'm afraid I need a new cup of tea," Bruce said. The chunk of frozen tea clunked as he set it onto the counter on his way to safely dispose of the bits of ceramic. The rest of the room simply stared at the tea for a long moment. Dick reached out to poke it with the knife. "My, it seems so," Alfred said. The temperature of the kitchen dropped suddenly, and Alfred was quick to continue. "But accidents do happen. One cup is nothing to how many Master Dick broke in his youth." "Hey, it wasn't that many," Dick protested, with an exaggerated pout. The air warmed slightly as Alfred gave a disagreeing hum to that. He picked up the iced tea that Dick was still poking with the knife and deposited it into the sink. Luckily, a few, or even many, cups are no matter in the grand scheme of things. "No, they really aren't," Bruce agreed. He pulled out his phone to send Dick a message about how the little shadow had overheard something distressing and would need distracting. Dick frowned down at the message, brows furrowed in worry, before he shook the expression away and pulled on a smile. He put his knife back to work, chopping up the last bits of apple and piling them on a tray, along with cheese and crackers. He left one slice of apple on the edge of the counter, ignoring when it promptly disappeared into the darker-than-they-should-be shadows. "I think that I'm going to see who all I can rope into a board game. Maybe even Jay will come over," Dick said. Bruce had no doubt that when Jason heard their shadow had been upset, he would be immediately on his way. "I could use someone to help me roll, though," Dick continued happily as he picked up the tray and headed slowly out of the kitchen, his shadow pitch black. "What should we play? Sorry, Life? They made a Justice League edition of Life, you know." "Master Bruce?" Alfred inquired as he passed over the freshly steeped tea several minutes later. Bruce took a sip and let the warmth of it soothe him. "I need to call the League. It's time we set a firm date to visit the Watchtower. If there are any answers to be had, it would be good to have them." "Is everyone ready?" Bruce asked, becoming Batman as he tugged on his cowl. Even the end of his sentence turned more gravelly. Phantom was fascinated by the change every time. Dick, no, Nightwing now, gave Batman an enthusiastic thumbs up. "Ready, B." The two waited, but there was no one else there to respond. Oh, the rest of everyone was him. Phantom was still getting used to interacting overtly with the others as he had been doing the last few days. It had been frightening at first. No, there were still times where it was frightening, and he would tuck himself back into the corners and under the furniture. He could tell that it made the others sad when he did so, but they didn't try to ever force him out again. They would ask or offer things, but if he didn't want to come out, they didn't make him. More than once, Jason would settle near to read, or Tim would work. Dick would play silly videos, or Damien draw. They would all give him room without leaving him alone. It's what always convinced him, in the end, to be more present again. It had made him start to consider how much more he could be there. Something pulled on the tattered edges of his mind about... He shook the abstract thought away. He had a question to answer. Was he ready? Bruce had said they were going somewhere today, somewhere called the Watchtower. Bruce had assured him, both as Bruce and as Batman, that everyone there, and there would be other people, were friends and allies. They were all other heroes or worked with the heroes to keep people safe. They were the people who helped Batman rescue him. It was scary to go somewhere out of Gotham again, but Phantom trusted Batman, and Nightwing was there to protect him too. Yes, he was ready. Phantom stifled a giggle and made Batman's cape flare dramatically. Nightwing didn't try to suppress his laugh. I'd say that's everyone good to go. Batman gave a little, noise that could mean a million things and Phantom had come to find comforting, and stalked over to the machine in the corner. Phantom had looked at it before. He had looked at the whole cave, but he still didn't know what it was. It was some sort of platform, partially surrounded by a clear tube. Something about it screamed the future. "Stay close as we travel," Batman ordered, pressing some buttons on a control panel. Phantom tucked himself firmly in Batman's cape. A mechanical voice called out,
"Connecting to Watchtower."
And then bright light flared. What was that? Why was it so bright? Why did it tingle? What did it remind him of? He wanted it to stop. He wanted off, off, off. Phantom darted forward, racing away from the edge of the platform and the bright white light and the sense of wrong. It reminded him of, he was stepping into somewhere, a ring of some sort. Someone was saying something. He laughed, and then everything was so bright, and then everything hurt. Phantom jolted to a sudden stop at a thick pane of glass. Endless blackness dotted with spots of light stretched before him. The vastness of it all soothed him, brushing away the panic and the fragmented memory. No, he was okay. Batman had brought him here, Batman and Nightwing. He was safe with them. Safe, safe, safe. Wherever he was, where was he? What was this? Phantom reached out to the glass. Oh. Oh, this was space. He was in space. Phantom felt something in him unfurl. End of chapter 3.
Listen, listen. I would take a whisper if that's all you had to give.
Chapter 4. Phantom pressed himself against the glass and let the cool touch of it soothe away the last of his panic. Space. The Milky Way. A barred spiral galaxy. 54,000 years across. Home to the solar system. Home to home. Oh. Oh. It was beautiful. It was everything that was or would be. It was light and dark and space dust and souls and wonders known and unknown. It was home to home. Home to his own dust. Home to every aching part that sat inside of him, made of space dust and soul, broken and battered and bruised. Space was it all. Everything he was or would be. It was beautiful. And it hurt. Suddenly, Phantom knew, with a startling clarity that he wished he didn't have, that he would never get all his pieces back. He wouldn't even get most of his pieces back. Some of them had been burned, some of them had been melted, some of them had been dissolved in acids and horrifying concoctions made to destroy him. No, he would never get those parts of himself back. What scattered parts he had were the only pieces that remained. Coming up to the watchtower, seeing the sky, seeing space, seeing the vast and unfathomable void of the cosmos, the same cosmos that sung inside him in an endless spiraling echo, it didn't suddenly give Phantom all his pieces back. No, what being up here in space gave Phantom was the ability to look at the whole of himself, see what did remain, and tell how he could fit those pieces back together into something new. In space, he had found his keystone. Shortly after his arrival, Batman had sounded the alarm without literally sounding the alarm. Apparently, the little entity he had brought to the watchtower had been scared by the Zeta tube and dashed off. Worried they might panic the little one further, the League was subtly searching the space station. The instructions for detecting the being were vague at best. Cold spots, darker than normal areas, and a mass of shadow if they were lucky. Some, perhaps, could take the lack of information as a lack of care. Diana, though, had known both Bruce and Dick for many years now, and she could see how horribly worried both of them were. This was their family that was lost and hurting. So, she searched the halls and the rooms of the watchtower with the care of looking for a missing child. Because that is what this search was, no matter what form the child might take. In a little side room, the frost creeping across the window caught her eye. She sent a quick message off to Bruce before she stepped in to stand by the window. "It is a beautiful sight, is it not?" Diana asked the question without turning to look at the corner, where the shadows were just a little too dark. In the faint reflection of the acrylic glass, she saw the inky blackness shift slightly. "It is all right, little shade," Diana said, keeping her voice carefully soft. "We know you are there. Batman has informed us that you were startled by the Zeta Tube. They are looking for you."
"I'm sorry."
The voice was faint, like hearing wind-snatched words on a blustery day. "Do you mean us any harm?" There was no accusation in the words, but still the shade jolted before pulling into themselves.
"No, no, no, no."
"Then there was no harm done, and there is nothing to apologize for. We all feel fear. We all have things that we wish to run from, and sometimes that fear overwhelms us. I am sorry you felt the need to hide, but it is all right that you have." Spots of green appeared in the dark murk and flashed rapidly, before only two were left. They focused on Diana. Eyes, she realized, and smiled as she turned to face the shade properly. "I am Wonder Woman."
"Phantom."
"Is that what you are?" Diana asked gently.
"No, it's my name, kinda," the shade said, curling tighter into the corner.
The green eyes disappeared again. The form was a faint, aurora-like haze that was hard for Diana to focus on.
"My hero name, I think. I just remembered it. I just remembered a lot. I'm Phantom."
Of course, Bruce's suspicions would be right. Her friend always doubted himself too much. "You are a hero, little one."
"I was, I think. I tried to be."
There was a tilting to the shade, a tilt of a head, Diana realized. Little bits of the shade's form were becoming more distinct as they sat looking out the watchtower window. They were so small, truly just a child. Diana gave a soft hum and returned to looking out the window. She waited for the bright green eyes to reappear before she asked, "And you came to be with Batman in the GIW lab?" The shade pulled into themselves so quickly they almost disappeared entirely. "It is all right. You will never have to go back there. We would not allow it to happen. You are safe, Phantom," Diana said. She slowly took a knee so that she was more at Phantom's level. They were sitting, she thought, but she could only tell when looking at the shade out of the corner of her eye. "I know that you do not know me, but Batman is a dear friend. Just as he has fought for me and mine, I would fight for him and his. You have my protection, little shade, as Batman's family." A flare of aurora-tinted colors fluttered over the shade in what Diana could only think of as a blush.
"I'm not."
The words were whisper-thin once more, but Diana could hear the want under them. The door slid open, and Dick all but tumbled in and towards them.
"Little Shadow, I'm so sorry you got scared."
Ah, Little Shadow. Well, she was close enough with Shade. Besides, she knew their true name. Phantom. Phantom, Bruce echoed, from where he stood just inside the doorway, draped in shadows and his cape.
Phantom,
the little one confirmed. It was only his training that stopped Bruce's heart from thudding in his chest. Phantom. Their little shadow was Phantom, was that boy who had been cut open by people that he cried out to as parents, who was now sitting there, still as ever-shifting shadow, but distinctly more human, who was talking. "Hey there, Phantom, Dick said. Bruce could hear the thick threat of tears in his oldest son's voice.
I like Little Shadow too," Phantom said hesitantly.
He spoke without a mouth. The voice wasn't like John's clear mental voice, but more like a whisper in the still of the night. It was as if they felt the words more than they heard them. "Yeah," Dick asked. "Okay, Phantom, but Little Shadow is a nickname. It's really nice to get to talk to you, Phantom." A wave of colors scattered across Phantom's form, and he seemed to duck into himself slightly. It reminded Bruce of a young Jason, who always shied away from any compliment. As Diana stood and backed away, Bruce knelt in her spot. She gave a brief squeeze to his shoulder as she left. she would handle informing the others. He had more important matters to look after. Phantom clearly watched the cape as it spread out on the floor. He flickered, once, almost like he wanted to dart forward under the cape. Bruce purposefully didn't pull it close. "I'm sorry that the Zeta tubes frightened you," Bruce said, guilty that he hadn't talked Phantom through what would happen with enough detail. There was another flicker, like Phantom wanted to hide, but he just shook what seemed to be his head, a floating mass of hair and all. "You seem different now. Was it the teleportation?" Dick said.
"No, it was..."
Phantom motioned, an arm forming naturally out of the mass of shadow for him to gesture at the window behind him. Phantom started and held his hand out in front of him, flexing his fingers, marveling at having fingers. He smiled with a newly formed mouth, his face much more distinct between one blink and the next.
"Space. It was space. It's important to me. I think. I got some pieces back."
"That's great, little Shadow. I mean, not that you weren't great before. However, you are is great, but I'm glad for you," Dick said.
"Yeah?
Yeah.
Even if I don't..."
Phantom looked down at his hand, raising another one to join it. He flexed them, the bends and knuckles and fingernails filling in like fog lifting. Bruce almost felt like he could reach out and grasp a hand.
"I don't know what I am anymore."
"You're Phantom," Bruce said, actively working to temper the gravel of his words. "And that is all you need to be." Those bright eyes flickered up to meet Bruce's. This time they stayed where eyes should be on a face, seeming to properly fit into the shadows. The hair now had distinct wefts as it floated around Phantom's face. Bruce could almost see the boy who used to be, but really, that didn't matter. Phantom was who he was now, and whoever he would become. Still, Bruce had to ask, "Do you have a place to go back to?" Phantom's form stuttered. The green eyes flashed and changed. One eye, two, three, an uncountable infinite, two again. Tears were hastily blinked back, tears that Phantom seemed startled to have to wipe away. They were bright green, just like his eyes.
"Sorry, I don't know why I'm crying," he said. I'm still remembering things. I don't know who I'm crying over. I did once. No, that's not right. Whoever I was before did. I'm not him anymore. Whatever place that was, it isn't mine."
"There might be people who miss you."
"No, they miss the boy who died. I'm just the few pieces that are left."
Phantom looked back down at his hands, his form settling again. He was sitting with his legs crossed. He seemed so small next to them.
"I'm not going to ever be him."
"You don't have to be," Dick assured him quickly. "He's right," Bruce rumbled. "And if you've been happy, you will always have a place with us, whoever that means Phantom is." Phantom glanced up at Bruce and then away again. The aurora of colors dusted his cheeks.
"Wonder Woman, she... I mean, it's what she said, not that, but she..."
Phantom's form flickered around the edges like a mirage. His voice was as quiet as an echo of water dripping in the cave.
"She called me your family."
"You are," Bruce said without hesitation. He smiled when Phantom's gaze snapped to him, a rare expression in the suit. "We all consider you family."
"But I'm not..."
"Trust me, little Shadow, cookies do not last in the manor," Dick said with his own soft smile. "We do not save cookies. It is every bat for themselves. But for you, everyone makes sure there are cookies for you. I'm pretty sure you're the favorite. You're family, as long as you want to be."
"Oh,"
Phantom said, voice still tiny. The colors rippled over his face again, lingering a little longer before settling on a dusting of magenta.
"I want to be, very much."
"Then you are," Bruce said with finality. "Would you like to see the watchtower a bit more and meet some of the others? After, we'll go home." The magenta brightened as Phantom grinned widely with fanged teeth.
"A home. That sounds perfect."
Worried about scaring Phantom further, they kept the tests as passive and unnoticeable as possible during the tour of the watchtower. It regulated them to capturing data through sensors and small scanners. While it certainly wasn't enough to get a comprehensive understanding of what Phantom was, it would at least be new data to review and the start of an information trail to compare back to for health checks. Far more useful was the chance for John to look Phantom over. With how excited Phantom was at the chance to meet a Martian, it was easy to arrange without any stress. It was reassuring to know that Phantom, even for how impossible he might seem, seemed to be mentally stable. According to John, Phantom's mind should be thought of as a structure made of bricks. The original building was destroyed, as were many of the bricks, but Phantom had built himself back up into something new out of what remained. Many of the connections were fresh, as if just made that day. In short, he existed because he wanted to exist and had been given the chance to. He was a miracle of his own perseverance and strength. Phantom didn't feel very strong, clinging to Batman's cape like a scared child. The sensation will be much the same, but I promise you that it is safe. When it is over, we will be back in the cave, back home. Will you stay close this time? Batman asked. Well, it was Batman who asked, but the question was very much Bruce, Phantom thought. He didn't want to go through the portal. No, the transponder, again. It still scared him. But Batman and Nightwing would be there with him, and he felt tired. He was sure that's what this was. Tired. It was easier to put names to things now after his time in space. He was tired, and he wanted to go home. Home, the place that had been offered to him with family and safety and cookies. It all sounded very nice right then. It sounded like where he should be. He nodded, unable to find his voice at the moment, or his mouth, and clung a little more securely to Batman's cape. Wonder Woman, Batman said. Certainly. It was very nice to meet you, Phantom. I hope to see you again soon. Another little nod, which Wonder Woman returned with a tilt of her head and a smile. One, two, three. The blinding white light surrounded them again. Phantom felt the panic grip him, but he just held on to Batman's cape all the tighter until the light had faded. B, you're back soon. Holy shit, Tim said. He bounded out of the chair in front of the large computer and over towards them. His coffee cup was abandoned absentmindedly along the way. Is that... Tim, Nightwing said, motioning dramatically to what little of Phantom could be seen past Batman's mask. I'd like to properly introduce you to our newest brother, Phantom, though he still likes the nickname Little Shadow, too. Phantom pried one hand off of Batman's cape to wave nervously at Tim. He didn't think Tim would harm him, of course he didn't. Tim was family now, a different kind of family, a family that cared. It was just that Phantom knew he had changed up on the watchtower. He knew that he had gained something, and that had changed him. Change wasn't always for the better. His last change, Tim wouldn't hurt him, but what if Tim didn't like him like this? What if none of the others did? Holy shit. Tim, Bruce rumbled as he pulled off his cowl. Sorry, I meant hi, Phantom. It's cool to see you looking more solid. You're just happy to have someone else shorter than you, Dick teased. He ruffled Tim's hair as he passed. Tim glared and batted the hand away. Unlike you, I'm secure in my height. I bet Phantom is a short king too, aren't you? Phantom gave a little shrug and let himself be led off the platform by means of still holding onto the cape as Bruce moved forward. Boys. Oh, come on, B, Dick called from further in the cave. Phantom has been with us long enough to know that this is how we are. Like how you are, Phantom mumbled. Tim's head whipped back to him, and it made Phantom want to hide. He ducked his head nervously, the wispy shadows of his hair, or what might as well be hair, shrouding his view.
Sorry.
What? No, I just didn't know you were talking now, Tim said quickly. Which, if you still can't sometimes, you know that's all right too, right? Just like Cass. Phantom couldn't help but relax at that and smile back. He was better, but he didn't know if better would always last. Existing was exhausting.
Yes.
Tim smiled back. Good. Wait, Cass, the others, we need to go say hi to them too. We can have Alfred make something special for dinner. Eating hasn't hurt you, right? I mean, you look more solid like this, but... Tim, Bruce sighed.
Yes, I used to love burgers,
Phantom blurted out, and then instantly dissolved a little, ashamed at his outburst.
Sorry, I just remembered.
Burgers are always good, Dick said, as he reappeared, dressed in neon yellow leggings and a hoodie that had to be Jason's or Bruce's from the size of it. Why don't we go check in with Alfred and see if he's up to making them tonight and call the others? We can play some games once everyone is here. That sounded nice. Phantom felt his form solidify again.
I can play too?
Of course you can, Dick said. He held out his hand. Come on, let's go upstairs. Phantom took a breath he didn't need, but enjoyed being able to take. He rested his hand, still marveling that he had a hand, even if it was formed of shadows and sometimes faded, in Dick's. It felt warm. Yes, Phantom could very easily call this home.
Listen, listen, I would take a whisper if that's all you had to give.
Chapter 5. Bruce paused in his reading as several things thudded against his study door in a rhythmic plat, plat, plat. He didn't bother to look up until there was a larger thump. His door, which he had left open just a crack, swung in as Phantom dramatically slumped to the floor. Why? He croaked, hand reaching for the hall. We were a team. A figure blocked the light, weapon raised. I got a better offer. Pop, pop. Two Nerf darts hit Phantom square in the chest and he stilled. His wild white hair fanned dramatically around him. His cheeks were faintly flushed. He was the very picture of angelic death. Bruce raised a brow at his other son where he was lurking in the doorway. Tim? Bruce, Tim said calmly, collecting the darts stuck to the wooden door. I hope your betrayal was worth it. Dick's dessert at the next three family dinners. Ah, Bruce said, slipping a bookmark in between the pages. Well, mind your back. Always, Tim said, with a frankly unhinged smile, before he disappeared back down the hall. Bruce got up to stand over Phantom's fallen body and offer a hand. Having fun? Phantom cracked open a green eye and then grinned. Oh yeah, I won the last round. I think that put a target on my head. Bruce hummed as Phantom took the offered hand. It was still startling to actually be able to touch Phantom and feel the warmth of a living body. Bruce hadn't been sure that Phantom would ever be able to regain a human form. It wouldn't have changed anything if Phantom hadn't. He was family, no matter what form he took. But Bruce was glad for Phantom that he had been able to recover and heal to this point. The first time Phantom had transformed had been a shock to them all, Phantom included. It was a movie night. The kids had been in the middle of a popcorn war that they thought was subtle. There had been a sudden pop of blinding light, and Phantom had been sitting there, an actual weight on the couch, white-haired and green-eyed and choking on a surprised breath. Breathing didn't go well, and after a few moments of listening to Phantom struggle to suck in air, he faded back to shadow. It wasn't just back to the mostly human shadow form that he faded to. Phantom faded all the way back to almost unseen shadowy mass like he'd been at the start and had gone to hide under Jason's chair. It had upset everyone to see. They had gotten used to Phantom being a presence and often in the more human form. When he retreated like that, it felt like he went somewhere they couldn't follow, somewhere they couldn't help him. It was Jason who salvaged the night, pulling out his book he had put aside for the movie and starting to read aloud. Movie night had turned into game night. With the attention off of him, Phantom had emerged from under the chair and slowly taken form less than half an hour later. An hour in, and he had joined in the board game. Everyone relaxed a little. They had called Zatanna and Constantine the next day. As best as anyone could tell, Phantom had healed enough to be able to take a human form again. Though the method was beyond them, the result seemed clear. The next time that Phantom had transformed, Bruce had been ready to help him through breathing like he would one of his children having a panic attack. Now, months later, Phantom was able to hold human form for most of the day, which the other children took advantage of with sparring, games, and the occasional carefully monitored trips out into the city. And, apparently, Nerf battles. Impressive you won the last round, Bruce said, pulling Phantom up. He was still far too light, even in this form. Alfred was working on it. Yeah, I think I used to... Phantom trailed off, eyes glazing over before he shook his head. Those little spells happened sometimes, and more often than not, Phantom continued as if he hadn't said anything. Anyways, thanks. I even got the winning shot against Jason, right between his eyes. Bruce chuckled. He was sure that Jason handled the loss well just because it was Phantom versus any of his other siblings. While Phantom was proving as much of a troublemaker as any Wayne, he was still often the favorite. Bruce watched Phantom carefully stretch, keeping an eye out for any signs of pain. He took note of the way Phantom winced a little and rubbed at the back of his neck. "Can I stay in here with you, just so no one thinks I'm in this next game?" "Of course. I was just reading one of my old favorites. Would you like me to go back to the start?" "What is it?" Phantom asked, sitting down on the couch and tucking his legs up against his chest. "The Shadow. There's a whole series of them, but this is the first," Bruce explained, as he grabbed the book and joined his son on the couch. "He's a crime fighter with a network of spies and agents across the globe." Phantom hit a snort of laughter against his knees. "Yes, well, he might have been an inspiration of mine," Bruce admitted with a chuckle of his own. Ignoring his bookmark, he opened the book to the start. "Now, let's see what he's up to in The Shadow Come to Life." "Tom, where's the Tom-Tom?" "Phantom," Dick sang down the hall. "In here," Phantom said, not bothering to even lift his head up from where it rested on Bruce's leg. He tucked himself in properly after the first chapter and had almost been asleep before Dick had called out. Dick's head propped around the doorframe, eyebrows instantly furrowing. "You okay?" Phantom nodded. "Yeah, just might have pushed a bit." "Okay, I'll tell the others you're out for this round. Want me to come get you when we break for snacks?" "Sure, save me some if I'm, you know." "Sure, little Shadow," Dick chirped. He closed the door most of the way behind him as he left. Bruce rubbed his knuckles up and down his son's spine. "Do you need to go intangible?" Phantom whined. "I don't want to." As much as they had been told that the pain Phantom experienced didn't seem to be a sign of larger issues, simply one that came with reforming his human body after so long without it, Bruce hated that his son had to suffer from it. From what Phantom had described, it seemed to be something like fibromyalgia. They were unsure of if it would clear up with more time that he was human, or if it would be a continuing condition. They also didn't know if they could treat it with the normal courses of medication. There was a lot that they didn't know about Phantom, and Bruce worried constantly over the fact. "Remember, you aren't supposed to be pushing yourself," Bruce reminded Phantom, reiterating what Zatanna and the doctors had told them. "You should take whatever form you need in the moment." "Ancients, yes, Dad, I get it," Phantom whined. Bruce froze. It was the first time Phantom had called him Dad. Bruce wondered if... He resumed the gentle press of his knuckles into Phantom's back. "Do you mind the others calling you Tom?" "No," Phantom said, drawing the word out in a way that he did when he was uncertain of where something was going and didn't want to commit early. "I know Phantom is a mouthful and that it won't, you know, work in the real world." "Tom is usually a nickname for Thomas." "Yeah." The word was less a question than a noise of confusion. Phantom twisted slightly so that he could look up at Bruce. Bruce smiled down at him, trying not to be nervous. "My father's name was Thomas." "Oh, I'm sorry. I can ask them not to." Bruce thumped Phantom lightly on the forehead. Spiraling. Spiraling thoughts often led to Phantom destabilizing. They were working on it. Phantom took a deep breath and gave a little nod. Bruce ran his fingers through Phantom's unruly locks to help settle him. "I was wondering if, when you're ready for the next step, you would like to officially be Thomas. I think it's about time this family had another Thomas Wayne." Phantom's, Thomas's, answering smile was brilliant. The end. Just my echo. My shadow. You're my only friend and I'm I'm
shatter, shatter. Hello, hello, anybody out there?
Podfickers note. This has been potted for the Summer Podfic Swap 2024 as a gift for Sophie. Sophie, I had so much fun making a gift for you last year, and you were just so cool about it. So I really wanted to make something for you this year, and I spent ages trying to figure out what. And I finally, after reading your letter a bunch of times and looking around, got really into this crossover fandom and found this fic. And it became my ultimate comfort fic. And I really wanted an excuse to pot it, so even though it's longer than a traditional treat, I felt like it was worth making for you. It might be a little bit more soft family feelsy than, you know, you tend to go for with darker fic, but when I was editing the early chapters out loud, my wife was like, holy shit, when it got to all the vivisection bits, and I was like, okay, maybe this is dark enough. So, Sophie, I hope this was dark enough for your hurt comfort soul. I hope that it was a crossover, didn't put you off. It still was very, like, Bat Family centric, so I felt like it would be accessible. But regardless, thank you for providing me the excuse to make this really awesome podfic. You rock. Happy Summer Swap. Thank you always, of course, to Paper Puffin as well for allowing podfics of your work. As I said, this has probably become my ultimate comfort fic, so I was really excited to podfic it. And thank you to anyone who listens. I hope you enjoy. If you did enjoy, please consider leaving a kudos or comment on AO3 to let me know what you thought. Nice things only, please, though, because I worked hard on this and I kind of would just like to hear if people enjoyed it. And don't forget to leave a nice kudos and or comment for the author on the fic itself. Thanks.